Listen up, pay attention, class in session. Vinny Aceto is on the air.
You better get me to school on time. Oh, yeah!
Yeah! Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to be a part of the game. Join us on the sidelines with your host, a man who skies above the competition, covers every story, and scores a touchdown every show, Vinny Aceto.
That's me.
This is my final exam. Now y'all know who I am. I might not be that perfect son, but y'all be rocking when I'm done.
And Jack Black from the School of Rock is not kidding. It is the final exam because the most anticipated date in the New York City high school sports calendar has arrived. It's all come down to this. Abraham Lincoln High School and Erasmus Hall High School have both survived the long demanding campaign to reach the final football feast of the season. Make sure you keep it here for the next hour for our annual PSAL Football Championship Preview Extravaganza on the award-winning On the Sidelines with the aforementioned Vinny Aceto. That's me. 51 schools started in the heat of August with title aspirations, and only two remain standing for the right to be hailed as city champions. Tuesday, city championship clash will be played at Yankee Stadium, where the Cathedral of Baseball turns into a football field of dreams when top-seeded Abraham Lincoln High School squares off against fifth-seeded Erasmus Hall High School on December 6th at 5 p.m. The top-seeded Rail Splitters, 12-0 overall, return for their second consecutive visit to the big game, while the fifth-seeded Dutchmen, 9-3, make their first trip to the title tilt in the top division since the league went to this championship format in 1971. Our story today begins in the Borough of Kings, and we'll preview the Battle of Brooklyn in the Bronx with head coaches Sean O'Connor from Lincoln and Danny Lambert from Erasmus High School as they visit with us to give their perspective on the road to Yankee Stadium. In addition, Adam Salazar, the executive producer and director of City Gridiron, joins us to converse about the show that everyone is talking about, City Gridiron, which airs Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on WPIX Channel 11, and that's 11 on 11. Season 3 features both Lincoln and Erasmus Hall, the two participants in this year's championship contest. The guy couldn't be any luckier if he won the lotto. Can you imagine? You're going to pick three teams that you're going to cover all season long. They also cover Canarsie, and two of them make it to the championship game. Utterly unbelievable. So, if you're looking to score straight A's in high school sports, make sure you get to school on time. Classes in session every Friday and every Tuesday on Radio New York, 91.5 FM. Your ticket to high school sports throughout the entire year in New York City, and it's radio. That's so New York. It's going to be an unbelievable championship game. 12-0 Lincoln against 9-3 Erasmus Hall. Two teams coming from opposite directions. And we'll get into that shortly. A little history lesson first, though. Lincoln last won the PSAL championship in 1993 when they defeated Canarsie 7-0 after falling to Wagner the year before 60-20. They were down 16-0 before they even ran an offensive play. 32-6 after the first quarter, and before closing the gap to 32-20 at the half, that was all she wrote, the final score, 60-20. They came back the following year and defeated Canarsie 7-0. Now, some of these seniors, and most of the underclassmen, weren't even born back in 1993 when Lincoln won the last championship. As for Erasmus Hall, they won the old B division title back-to-back in 1986 and 87. And as I said earlier, this is their first trip to the big dance in the top flight of PSAL football in New York City. On Tuesday, the game will feature many, many stars. For top-seeded Lincoln, obviously quarterback number 11, Jessel Jones, who pilots Air Meskis. And when Double J is throwing the ball, his two favorite targets, Jameek Davis, who caught 14 passes in the regular season with two touchdowns, Tariq Pusey, 12 passes, caught with two touchdowns in the playoffs. When he's not running the ball, he's handing it off to Kareem Folks, who's just had an unbelievable season. He led the league in scoring with 160 points. He led the league in touchdowns in the regular season with 22. In the playoffs, 68 carries, 443 yards, five more touchdowns, six two-point conversions. He's also caught two passes. The kid is unbelievable, and when he's not doing it, there's Denzel Duchesne scoring two touchdowns in the playoffs. He's had a terrific season also. He's a favorite target of Jessel Jones, caught 14 passes. Six of them went for touchdowns in the regular season. He caught six postseason receptions, with two of them going for touchdowns and two more for two-point conversions. They've got a great balanced attack, and it's led by the law firm up front, the big guys on the offensive line. The O-line has done a terrific job all season long protecting Jessel Jones and opening the holes for Kareem Folks. The law firm, as I like to call them, Arian Baldemic, Robert Kitching, Armani Gordon, Job Bucereth, and Keon Barnwell, steering the Lincoln locomotive all year long. And they are great. When you talk about the Lincoln defense, they've been terrific all season long. They have the no-fly zone, they like to call it, in their secondary. And Folks is leading the way there, along with Denzel Duchesne and Miguel Acevedo, with 35 tackles in the no-fly zone. Denzel had 3 picks during the regular season with a touchdown there also. Miguel Acevedo with 3 fumble recoveries. He's been coming up big also on defense in that secondary in the postseason with 9 tackles and an into, as the kids like to say it there. But the big guys up front making the big tackles. Robert Kitching, 28 tackles in the regular season, 12 more already in the playoffs. He had 5 sacks in the regular season. You got to love Armani Gordon also there. Tevin Frazier and Malik, oh my darling, 3 sacks in the regular season, 4 in the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
The Lincoln Rail Splitters just loaded with talent, looking to come back after that loss a year ago to capture their first title in 18 years. When you talk about Erasmus Hall, the one person everyone's been talking about all season long, even going back to last year, is the senior Wayne Morgan, number 2. Everyone's looking for this kid to go somewhere big time next year. He has led this team at the quarterback position, also playing cornerback. He does it all. His nickname is Lights Out. And when he gets the ball, you got to be afraid, because you don't know what he's going to do. He can go back and step back in the pocket and throw the ball. He could scramble out of the pocket. He reminds me of Fran Tarkenton from the old 60s and 70s when he played with the Giants and the Vikings. He's that kind of impact player where he can cause damage either running the ball or passing the ball. Terrific season for the Dutchman. And when he throws the ball, Cyrus Green is one of his favorite targets to throw to. Lionel Yo-Yo, you got to watch out for him as well. And on the running attack, unfortunately, from what I understand, Shaquille Jackson, number 5, one of their top runners all season long and one of the top runners in New York City, will be out for Tuesday's game, suffering a knee injury last Saturday against Tottenville. And that's going to be a major blow. But every great play on Broadway has an understudy when the top actor goes down. And Shaquille Jackson's understudy is the sophomore stud, the super soft Khalil Lewin, who had 9 carries for 109 yards all in the second half against Tottenville, scoring the game-winning touchdown. We'll touch on that a little later on. Wow, this kid has been unbelievable all season long, stepping up when Jackson's been out. He returned not too long ago from a broken foot. This kid is a star in the making. I'm telling you, Khalil Lewin, someone that you're going to be talking about for the next couple of years. He's only a sophomore. Sophomore stud, Khalil Lewin, number 3. Watch him on the jet sweep on Tuesday at Yankee Stadium. Watch him catching the ball, and he plays a terrific defense as well. So you got 2 great teams, many stars, too many to count. It's going to be a great one. The only thing that we have to worry about is the weather. Last year, it was like 44 below zero. Oh my God, was it cold last year at Yankee Stadium. This year, they're calling for rain. So we'll see what happens. Tuesday, Yankee Stadium, 5 p.m., top-seeded Lincoln against 5th-seeded Erasmus Hall. Now, at this point in our show every week, we review all the games that happened the week prior. And week 12 was the semifinals for the PSAL Football Championship Division playoffs. I like to hype it up as Semifinal Saturday. And at the Third Rail in Coney Island last Saturday, Lincoln defeated Clinton 30-14. There was no stopping the L-Train Express to Yankee Stadium as they advance to their second consecutive PSAL title tilt, where they will meet Erasmus Hall in an all-Brooklyn final in the Bronx. The Rail Splitters, who have not lost at the Third Rail, rolled out to a 22-0 halftime lead. Quarterback Jessel Jones opened the scoring with a 1-yard plunge on the first possession of the contest, and then Kareem Folks, who had 15 carries for 155 yards, ran to pay dirt from the 5 to make it 14-0. Then Tariq Pusey padded the lead when he corralled a 9-yard touchdown reception from Double J, who was 5 of 8 for 78 yards. But after a third quarter Clinton touchdown, JJ put the icing on the cupcake, and can we finally put that to rest with the schedule and everything like that? On an 8-yard scamper, he finished the day with 12 carries for 107 yards. The last time, as we said, Lincoln won the city championship was in 1993, the birth year of some of this year's seniors. The Rail Splitters defeated Canarsie 7-0. It was an all-Brooklyn final that year also at Columbia's Ween Stadium at Bakerfield, and it rained that day too, and it rained the night before. The mud and the muck and the mire was unbelievable. Junior quarterback Corey Valentine hooked up with Eric Dickerson, no, not the Hall of Famer, on a 41-yard touchdown pass down the right sideline in the final minute of the first half. Ian Seidenberg added the PAT. Eric Smith was stopped on consecutive runs from the Lincoln 5-yard line, leading to the game-winning drive, and Lincoln rebounded, as I said earlier, from a championship game loss the previous year to Wagner. Can history repeat itself again for the Coney Island school? While in Staten Island, number 2 Tottenville fell to number 5 Erasmus Hall in overtime, 20-17. It was almost a carbon copy of a week 4 game. Tottenville jumped out to a 14-0 lead on an Austin Mocha 13-yard touchdown reception from Alvin Calvin Cornelius. Then Cornelius, who's headed to Syracuse, added a 7-yard run with a pair of Ben Pifalco PATs. It was 14-0. But E. Hall got within 6 just before the half when Shaquell Jackson scored from 11 yards out. The Dutchman leveled the score at 14 with Wayne Morgan's 1-yard dive with 5:56 left to play, 2 plays after a 40-yard dash. Kenny Munson stopped Morgan on the conversion, and the game was tied at 14. Ben Bifalco's 43-yard field goal attempt with time running out fell just 5 yards short, forcing the overtime. And in the overtime, Tottenville got the ball first, and Bifalco's 34-yard field goal in overtime gave Tottenville a 17-14 advantage. But the super soft, that stud, Khalil Lewin's 15-yard run on 3rd and 5 gave E. Hall the victory and a ticket to their first ever title game in the top flight of the PSAL Football League. Lewin finished the day with 9 carries for 109 yards, all in the second half, and that touchdown run was just amazing. I hope you got a chance to see it. Takes the handoff, rolls to the right, rides that right sideline. I think maybe close to every single Tottenville player had a hand on this kid. He put his hand down to give balance, to stay up on his feet, kept the feet churning and kept on going, dove into the end zone for the touchdown. Erasmus Hall wins it 20-17, an unbelievable game. Obviously, I was at Lincoln Inn, and everyone I know who went to the Erasmus Tottenville game, who crossed over the bridge, told me it was one of the most exciting high school football games they had ever seen. So that leads us to this. Next stop, 161st Street and River Avenue, Yankees Stadium. As we hear Magnificent 11 from NFL Films in the background, it's the PSAL Football Championship. 2 teams from Brooklyn playing in the Bronx for the right to be called City Champions. When we come back, we'll hear from the 2 head coaches, Sean O'Connor from Lincoln, Danny Landberg from the Erasmus Hall Dutchman, and a special guest, Lee Mazzilli, former Major League Baseball star and Lincoln High School grad of 1973, when the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto continues after this. Don't go away. Get your popcorn ready.
Hi, I'm Frank Gifford, and you're listening to the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto on WNYE 91.5 FM, your ticket to high school sports in New York City.
Football is a game, not a war. It's for win or lose, not life or death. But say that in the summer, for winter brings the playoffs and a season is at stake.
Now from here, we got to go on the road, in the cold, in the snow, in the wind, with a hostile environment, and play our style of football. And we don't want it any other way.
No, we don't. Dennis Green rallying the troops. And we are back. Coming up Tuesday, December 6th, the New York Yankees hosting the 2011 PSAL City Championship football game. That's right, the New York Yankees. Last year, approximately 6,000 fans were in attendance to watch last year's title game, the first ever high school football game ever played at the brand new Yankee Stadium. And the Yankees are a first-class organization. Not because I'm a Yankee fan, I'm saying this. The way they've treated the PSAL last year and this year and these young student-athletes, unbelievable. Wednesday, I was at a press conference where they hosted the 2 teams, the coaching staffs and the media. Terrific job put on by the Yankees, and I want to thank them for allowing me to go and have our WNYE microphones to cover the event, and we'll hear a little bit about that coming up shortly. And on December 20th, the Yankees will also host the 2011 MVP Scholar Athlete Award Ceremony. It will honor 11 scholar-athletes from each of the 5 boroughs of New York City and will recognize these individuals for their outstanding academic and athletic achievements. In addition, the 55 scholar-athletes will be recognized on the field during the New Era Pinstripe Bowl on December 30th at Yankee Stadium. I'm telling you, you will never hear anybody, any Met fan or anybody, say anything bad how the Yankees have treated the Public Schools Athletic League and especially these football teams. And last year's event, in which I was the MC, was tremendously done. And it was a hit by all the student-athletes and their families, their coaches, and their athletic directors. Great event, and the Yankees really doing things first class for our student-athletes here in New York City. Now, as we said, coming up Tuesday, December 6th, 5 p.m., Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, 2 teams from Brooklyn battling it out in the most anticipated date in the New York high school sports calendar. Lincoln High School, the top seed, 12-0 overall, taking on Erasmus Hall, 9-3 overall. Let's review their seasons, okay? Because it's a little contrasting seasons for both schools. Lincoln, for the 2nd consecutive year, goes undefeated in the regular season, defeating the Utrecht 54-6. then Kennedy 24-0, Midwood 52-0, Truman 46-6, then they defeated FDR 54-0, beat Grant Street 42-12, Sheepshead Bay 36-14, Canarsie 54-0 in the blizzard on Halloween weekend, and then finished the regular season by defeating Fort Hamilton. The last three losses that Lincoln had suffered, going back to last year's championship game and the 09 playoffs and regular season, was to Fort Hamilton. They avenged those losses by pitching a 22-0 shutout in the final game of the regular season on Marathon Sunday. In the playoffs, 54-6 in the first round over John Adams. They got a scare from Thomas Jefferson and won that game 30-28. And then last week in the semifinals, defeated Clinton 30-14. 12-0 coming up to this championship game against E. Hall, whose season was a little, as I've been saying all season long, a little Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They came in highly touted, of course, with Wayne Morgan, with Shaquelle Jackson, with all their stars also coming back from a year ago. And they took a big first-half lead against Campus Magnet at home at the brand-new Sid Luckman Field, gorgeous, by the way, at Bay Parkway underneath the F train at McDonald Avenue, and lost to Campus Magnet 24-20. So here's this team that everyone's touting to go to Yankee Stadium. They start off the season 0-1. Then I go see them at Boys and Girls, and they win that game 14-6, hard-fought battle. They venture up to the Bronx and get absolutely destroyed by Clinton, 30-8. So at 1-2, everyone's writing them off, including myself. And I'd be lying to you if I said no. And at 1-2, they then were playing host to Tottenville, who at that time had 17 consecutive regular season wins and were number one in our WNYE top 10 poll. Now, at 1-2, you're taking on the top team in Tottenville. I said they had no chance. I wasn't the only one. Everyone in New York City was saying that. I had them at 1-3 already, and their season over. But wait a minute. Tottenville jumps out to a 13-0 lead, very similar to last week's semifinal game. And E. Hall bounced back and won a spectacular 14-13 hard-fought battle against Tottenville to go up 2-2. Erasmus then goes up to the Bronx again to play that same field at Clinton to take on Lehman, and this time they destroy Lehman 50-8. Now you say E. Hall is back on track at 3-2. But you'd be wrong, because the following week they take a big lead against Thomas Jefferson and then squander it away with 5 turnovers. And Jefferson comes back and wins 30-24 with maybe one of the most exciting players in New York City in the last couple of years, Kendall Speedy Thomas. Man, this kid is unbelievable. He's electric. So E. Hall drops to 3-3 with Fort Hamilton, Grant Street, and Midwood left on their schedule. And the Dutchmen run the table, beating Fort Hamilton 32-14, Grant Street 12-6 in a tight one, and then just level Midwood 52-6. So the playoffs begin, and first up is Danny Landberg's longtime friend Andy Landsberg and John F. Kennedy, and they pitch a 28-0 shutout. Then it's a rematch of Week 2 against Boys and Girls, and they defeat the Kangaroos 26-10, leading up to last week's exciting overtime thriller in Staten Island, 20-17 over the Pirates, and they advance to the PSAL football championship game at Yankee Stadium. Oh, baby, it's just so great to say that. It really is. Again, on Wednesday, the Yankees hosted a press conference in which the two teams came and their head coaches got a chance to speak to us, the media. And I get a lot of questions a lot of times from a lot of fans, a lot of friends, like, what goes on in these press conferences? How does it work? Well, it works this way. The coaches and other dignitaries sit at a dais while a MC introduces everyone. And I'm going to give you a little taste of that press conference with first the head coach of the Erasmus Hall Dutchmen, Danny Landberg, in his own words.
Thank you for having me in my program here today. I just want to thank the New York Yankees. You know, walking into this building alone, the aura itself is second to none in this universe. I told my boys that they're playing in the best place you could possibly play a sport in the entire solar system. And when we drove up, I made sure they understood that when we came in. I want to thank the PSAL for all their support and put it together. Such a fine occasion. Tyrone, Donald, Jerry. I just want to thank some of the people in my life who've been influential in helping me as far as a coach. Not in any order, but Alan Arbus, who was my athletic director and teacher when I was a kid, and I wish him the best and hope he gets better. Alan Leibowitz, the former commissioner before him, who got me the job at Erasmus. Dick Riley, who convinced me to take it, former Sheepshead Bay head coach. And some of my mentors as far as football is concerned was Tyrone Murray from Kennedy High School and Jerry Horowitz and Jimmy DiBenedetto from Brooklyn Tech. It's important for me to recognize them because they were a big influence in my success, so be it, and where I am today. As far as this game is concerned, you know, Sean and I have been really good friends for a long time. We respect each other. We respect each other's schools. We vacation together. You know, I know he's a Class A guy, comes from a Class A organization. He's got a Class A athletic director in Renan. Our program has nothing but the most respect for them, and we wish them the best, except on Tuesday. You know, for us, it's been a dramatic season. The expectations were at the highest peak. Our schedule was definitely at the highest level you could possibly play. It was second to none. I think it's a fact we did play the hardest schedule in New York City, being that when I looked at the quarterfinals, we played everybody except Lincoln and Canarsie, which was the most of all the teams. Lincoln has done wonders with their season this year, you know, and we had this talk about scheduling and such, and I think that regardless who Lincoln played, they beat the team up regardless of we played those teams or not the same fashion. And I think that, you know, they're number one team for a reason and should be recognized as such. They've earned it. For us, it's been dramatic, like I said before. When you go 1-2 and you look at your schedule down the road and you're facing a team, looking at that schedule, and you got Tottenville, who had a 17-game winning streak, Fort Hamilton, I don't even know what their winning streak was, 38. You know, it's hard not to say, okay, it's going to be a tough one. And you have to really persevere and put things into perspective and say, okay, can we get this done? Now, you could say out loud to the world in press conferences that, yeah, we're going to do it. We believe we could do it. Listen, everybody's human. Did we know that we had it in us to do it? Yes. Did we know that it was going to happen? No. Things bounce a certain way. Kids get hurt. Flags go in the air. You don't know what's going to happen. So when you come from a place where you have to drop down into the dungeon and you have to find your way out and realizing what's in front of you, how tough it is, that climb. It's just not a climb. It's the toughest people in front of you. You know, you're going to have some doubts. We didn't change any work, any ways that we trained. I mean, I think that our kids, and it's been evident, is that we're counterpunchers. We react when we get hit, and that's just been the MO. So I'm hoping that just keeps on going that way. And I know that Sean would not like to say that he's the favorite, because everybody likes to be the underdog because no one wants to be the favorite, okay? But let's just keep it real right now. We are the underdog. Okay, our record says so. Okay, we have a lot of injuries, but that's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. So the bottom line is we're going to play football, do the best we're going to do, and God's going to do what he's got to do. You know, we started off the season 1-2. We're immediately written off by the world, rightfully so. We turned things around, and it was a grind, and I wouldn't have any other way to work from the bottom of the barrel up how we did it. We went through a tremendous, probably the best game I've ever been involved in my life, with Tottenville a week ago, where I guess we physically, and I mean physically, literally, left it all out in the field. And, you know, right then and there, I knew I had a family that was been through everything, and I've never been any more prouder than you. I'm a little emotional right now because of all the hard work that we go through. You know, it's never ending, and we know what we do. I know what Sean does too, but I can only speak for myself. You know, it's emotional because, you know, you have doubters, you have people that say you can't get to a certain place. Sometimes you become doubting yourself. But before our coaches, our players never doubted themselves. For that, I'm grateful. Thank you.
So that was an emotional Danny Landberg from the Erasmus Hall Dutchman. And after he spoke, it was time for Sean O'Connor, the head coach of the Lincoln Rail Splitters, making his second consecutive appearance in this title game.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank the New York Yankees for a first-class operation for both teams and PSAL and Donald and Tyrone and Jerry for their great support of taking football to the next level in the city. I know we get a lot of knocks about how we don't play football here in New York, but it's obvious how the past few years with coaches like Landberg and Coach Lambadell and Curtis, with all the college recruits, how we've changed this thing. And this is a great game to showcase two great teams. So I want to thank you guys again for putting on a first-class operation for us. Coach Landberg, you know, it's kind of ironic and weird that we're here right now in August, the week before practice starts, when most high school coaches take their families away to recharge the battery. I ventured off with my family to Cape May, and I'm walking around the Cape May Zoo this year in August, and who do I see? Coach Landberg with his family. So we start talking, and we got in trouble with the wives because we lost them, and they were looking at animals, and we started talking about football, of course, and, you know, and we've been great friends, and we kind of said, you know, we have a feeling we're going to meet each other. I don't think we thought it would be at this point. I'm not sure, but we knew we would be meeting, and we got out of camp. The first scrimmage we had was against Erasmus, and it was a real good battle. So Coach Landberg has done a great job with him and his staff over there. I mean, I think that they might be the first school that went through the breakup that made it this far, you know, where they've been broken up as a school into a campus, and that just shows you the dedication. You know, it's not an easy thing to go through, and I think Coach Landberg and his staff has done a great job to come through that and show that you can bounce back. So I congratulate you guys. To my staff, and I would not, you know, I'm sitting up here with everybody's eyes on me, but I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this group right here that's out. My coaching staff has been with me for a very long time. My assistant coaches, Coach Meskis, Coach Elio, Coach D'Orazio, Coach Chapman Jr., and of course, Mr. Hogeboom, Ms. Ebet, who, you know, Jerry mentioned. We have a lot of things we have to go through, adversity in New York City sometimes, and we're having Mr. Hogeboom, Ms. Ebet, it makes my life a lot easier. To my team, in the season. I mean, coming in to the season, we graduated 26 kids, and a lot of people talked about more of who we lost than who we had coming back. So I think my kids did a great job of proving who they are coming through the season. And then as the season went on, there was a lot to be said about who we played and the schedule and all that. But then they proved by being here today that it wasn't just a schedule, that we are a good football team. And they went through a lot of adversity themselves, and they deserve to be back here again, facing another very good football team in Erasmus who deserves to be here, who went through a lot as well. And what could be more exciting than two Brooklyn teams facing each other and proving where football really is king in Brooklyn? I'd say it was an honor, and this group is a different group, so it's not the same group that was here last year, so they're appreciating it just as much as the group they did last year in Danny's kids. And, you know, they've taken every game and every situation and appreciate it. This group has been very focused with everything's been thrown. They haven't looked ahead at each game, and some teams have been real, you know, the team that we had a close game with Jefferson is a real good game, real close game, and even Clinton, you know, the score is not indicative of the way it went. It was a tight battle. Just having maturity and having great senior leadership. I leave it on them. They take over. It's their team. They do a great job with keeping the team focused. So just want to thank everybody, and we're looking forward to a great game, and let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it and have fun out there, because, you know, who knows if we'll be back.
And finally, the Yankees invited Lee Mazzilli, a number one draft pick by the New York Mets out of Lincoln High School, graduate of 1973, former Major League player, coach, and manager with the Baltimore Orioles, now working in the Yankee organization in their community relations department, got a chance to address the young student athletes of both Lincoln and Erasmus Hall.
Welcome. First, Coach, it is okay to be emotional. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's emotional when you come to this stadium. Welcome, guys. You know, I just want to let you know that coming from Brooklyn and attending Lincoln High School, I think the PSAL program was very instrumental in my career as a ball player. It was a big part of my life, from becoming a draft choice out of Lincoln High School to be a player, a coach, and manager at the big league level. And this program is something that I hold dear to myself, because being born and raised in Brooklyn, I know what it means to have a field to play against these schools. I know at that time we didn't have all the venues that you guys have now, and I think it's a great thing that the PSAL and the schools can put together fields that you have right now to use, and it's really a remarkable achievement. The thing that I, you know, when I get a chance to speak to teams and schools, the one thing that I always like to stress is, you know, guys, you don't have to be an athlete to be successful in life. And that's a big thing that this program, I think, teaches us, and the coaches and the teachers as well. You know, there's many ways of being successful. I know we all want to be successful on the field and to be in the sports field. And it's a great thing. And hopefully one day that, you know, you may have that opportunity to go on to further your education, play college football, and maybe one day play in the NFL. And you're going to get that little taste of that right now at Yankee Stadium, coming here to play. But, you know, my analogy of this is, and I've used this for so long, hopefully you guys could appreciate this, there are ways to succeed, not only on the field, but in life and how successful you want to be. And I use this as a fence. When we talk about players, and even when I go down to spring training and coach with the Yankees, we talk about how we want to succeed and what type of player and individual and the makeup of someone. And I look at it and if there's a fence out there for us as an athlete right now, there are two ways to go, and there's one way that we don't want our players to go. And there's a way of saying, listen, I need to get over that fence, jump that fence, and get to the other side to succeed. There's another way that you want to try to do is to get over that fence, but you know what? You don't make it over that fence. You fall down. And by falling down, that means that we failed. But it's okay to fail. Okay, because you guys, as an athlete, are going to find a way to get over that fence. And once you climb that fence and you fall down again, that's okay, guys. Because you know what? You're going to get back up and you're going to try to climb that fence again. The athletes that we look at as a professional team are the ones that get on top of that fence and stay there. And they don't know which way to go, forward or back or fall down. And those are the athletes and the individuals that we look for, the ones that it's okay to fail, because we're going to fail. We need to fail to be successful in life. And that's what the players that we look for. And, you know, we look at it as a Yankee organization, and that's why we feel that we have the best organization in all sports, because the character and the players that we look for. And that's the character that you have to find. within yourself to go out there. You know, you have an ability. Use it. You know, there's a saying, use it, don't lose it. Go out there. Enjoy this. I think you need to embrace this. This is maybe a one-time performance that you can have in Yankee Stadium, and it's going to be the greatest, greatest time of your life. And when you get out there, and I say embrace it, enjoy it, look out there, look at the lights, look at the stands. Remember your coaches, because they're a big part of your development. Your mom and your dad, they're a big part of this. So enjoy the time that you're out here. I mean, there's so many good things that come out of the PSAL. Like I said, I was very fortunate to be part of that, and I go back a long way. And you guys are great athletes, and I want you to continue to be great athletes, but as well as scholars, and to continue in education. And hopefully one day that all of us up here can get a chance to see you guys play professional baseball, football. So I wish you all the best, and baseball too if you want to play. I'm sure there's some baseball plays out there as well. So I want to say congratulations to both teams. I wish you all the best, and have a great game on Tuesday. Thank you.
So that's a little taste, a little flavor of the press conference at Yankee Stadium leading up to the championship clash Tuesday, December 6th at 5 p.m. in the big ballpark in the Bronx. The Cathedral of Baseball turns into a football field of dreams as top-seeded Lincoln takes on fifth-seeded E-Hall in the PSAL Football Championship Division title tilt. When we come back, we'll talk to Adam Salazar, the executive producer, director of City Gridiron. He's been following these two championship teams. Coming up as the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto continues with a little West Side Rumble in the background from NFL Films.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance from CBS Sports. You're listening to the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto on WNYE 91.5 FM, your ticket to high school sports in New York City.
Only the heavyweights, the big hitters, show up here on Championship Preview. Jim Nance. Oh, yes. Hello, friends. And we are back. We go from one media member from CBS to PIX and the executive producer slash director of City Gridiron. Season 3 is Adam Salazar striking gold with Lincoln and Erasmus playing in the city championship game on Tuesday, December 6th, 5 p.m. at the Big Ball Yard in the South Bronx. Yankee Stadium, the cathedral of baseball, turns into a field of football dreams. And joining us again is Adam Salazar, the executive producer and director of City Gridiron. You really have struck gold, Adam.
Oh, it's really, you know, I couldn't have planned this better. City Gridiron, this year, it's our third season. We decided to follow three teams. We followed Canarsie, Lincoln, and Erasmus Hall, and they finished 1-3-5 in the PSAL rankings regular season. And after three rounds of playoffs, we're down to two schools, Lincoln and Erasmus Hall. So it's I couldn't have drawn it up better myself. I got two teams I'm following. I've been embedded with both teams all year long in the locker rooms, in the practice, in their homes, at games, on the sidelines, in the huddle, and I'm ecstatic. It's two great teams and great programs and, you know, fantastic kids on both sides of the ball, so I couldn't be happier. I'm ecstatic for the game and really fired up, looking for a good football game, which I'm sure we'll get.
Absolutely. And again, it's going to be a great game, December 6th, Tuesday, 5 p.m. at Yankee Stadium. And again, striking gold with these two teams. There are 49 teams in New York City who play football, two of them left standing, and you have two of them. You've been covering them all season long. What's it been like? I mean, you've covered Lincoln season two. They went to the city championship. Again, now with them at season three, with the three teams, as you said, with Canarsie, Erasmus, and Lincoln. What was it like going in? So we know Lincoln is already established with you, and they know what they're going to get with Adam Salazar, what they're going to get with City Gridiron, what they're going to get with Cozy Pictures. What was it like at the beginning of the season when you approached Danny Landberg and Erasmus?
You know, it's funny. I kind of got into the Erasmus Hall's coaching brain trust. I got in their ear last year at the Brooklyn 44 dinner, which, for, you know, for those that don't know, is the awards for the best players in Brooklyn. And I was already looking ahead to the following fall. I guess that happens like January or February.
Yes, January.
January. And I knew that Erasmus Hall had the, you know, New York City's top recruit this year, a young man by the name of Wayne Morgan. He plays quarterback, but he's here in the PSAL, but he's really projecting to the next level as a cornerback or safety. And he's an electric player, this kid, Wayne Morgan. He runs like a 4-4, 4-3, and hits hard, and he's just a fantastic instinct football player. So, and then a couple kids, Jaquel Jackson and Luda Jean-Louis, a couple of, like, big seniors, and I knew that they were stacked. They were a team very much like Lincoln was last year that had kids who've been playing on varsity for 4 years together, and this was their fourth year, and they were supposed to be, you know, the top team in the city, allegedly. meanwhile, Lincoln turns it out to be the top team in the city all year, undefeated, and pretty much stomped everybody in their wake. But Erasmus Hall, after a slow start, and I believe they started 1-2, they lost their first game, and it looked like the wheels were going to come off over there. Everyone was under a lot of stress, and they just, you know, they worked hard. I got to give them credit. They turned it around, and they got better as the season progressed, and, you know, here they are going to Yankee Stadium. It's certainly a dream come true for them. As a TV guy, it's a dream come true for me to have both teams on both sidelines at Yankee Stadium. And I know them well, and, you know, the Erasmus Hall guys were, it made it easier. This is my third season. The longer I go, it makes it easier to approach teams because now they've seen the show on TV, they're aware of it, and they know what they're getting, you know, they know what they're getting into. And it's all good stuff. It's nothing bad, but it's funnier because now kids kind of like are more comfortable to talk to the camera now. The coaches are more comfortable with me. So Erasmus Hall has been, they've been a good time. They've been fun to work with, and they got a brand new field also. So, and their field is right next to the subway. So I get a lot, it makes me happy. I get a lot of great, you know, TV shots with the subway rumbling by the practice field and the game field. So as a TV guy, that makes me happy.
You see, we know that you're not really a city guy now, but when you call the elevated trains the subway.
Ah, that's fair. Well, I'm a Manhattan guy, so we don't have a lot of elevated trains in Manhattan.
No, not at all.
I'm not a Brooklyn guy.
Unbelievable. Adam Salazar is the executive producer, director of City Gridiron Season 3. It's on PIX, Channel 11, every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Make sure you catch the program. It's always like a week or two behind. So this championship week will show up in a couple of weeks on Channel 11. Doing a terrific job covering Canarsie, Lincoln, and Erasmus, and two of his three teams in that city championship game at Yankee Stadium, 5 p.m. Tuesday, December 6th. Adam, when you get into the locker room and dealing with these young student athletes from both schools, Lincoln and now Erasmus Hall this season, what are some of the insights that you learned from them?
It's cool because I get access that, you know, nobody else gets. Like, say, for instance, because we're talking about E-Hall, pre-game, before every game, the coaches give their speeches, assistant coach and then the head coach, Danny Lamberg, they give their speech, and then they traditionally, they clear the room. They step out of the room, and it's a players-only meeting for a couple of moments before the game starts. And, you know, there's no great secrets being told, but it's just the first time it happened, I didn't even know it was going to happen, but I had my camera there. I'm like, I'm not leaving until somebody tells me to. And
no one asks you to leave.
No.
Wow.
Everyone's cool and comfortable with me, and, you know, I befriend the kids. I talk to them like peers or whatever, so they all like me. And,
that's your secret.
That's definitely helped. Definitely helped, yes.
You got to know the lingo.
I know a lot of lingo. After 3 years in the PSAL, I know a lot of lingo. So the health of my street cred. So you know, the kids and the E-Hall kids just give like a final kind of, you know, a couple of heartfelt words and then a chant amongst themselves. But, you know, it's cool. I get to see the inside. I'm in there at halftime, so I see the coaches coaching the kids up on the specific position matchups and stuff like that. And I try to include as much of that in the show as possible. It's only 22 minutes and a half an hour, so, you know, a lot of stuff gets squeezed out. But, you know, it's just a great insight, a great look inside, you know, a high school football program. And I try to give all sides some stuff with the kids at home off the field, you know, the game action, and some a little practice and a little locker room coaching from the coaches that you don't really get on, you know, your NFL coverage and your NCAA coverage and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a good time. The show's a really good time, and I think it gives a good insight to high school football in Brooklyn, New York, which pretty much no one even knew existed.
I don't want to get you in trouble here, but when you go into the players' homes and the moms and the dads greet you so well, and some of them, the moms and the grandmoms, are cooking for the players who are there in attendance. Do you ever get a chance to partake in some of the food? And who's made the best food for Adam Salazar?
Well, to answer your question, yes. There's often, you know, a lot of food at these events. They're often, you know, that a bunch of the football players are over. Cause when I, you know, have a plan to visit someone's house, they have a bunch of friends over. So I often am lucky enough to be invited to join in to break a little bread with them. I certainly am not dumb enough to say somebody had the best food over somebody else, because everybody's mom's food tastes fantastic. But sometimes it's pizza, sometimes it's home-cooked meals, and and that's another way that I almost feel bad. I'm in there, you know, with my camera, and I feel bad, you know, accepting food. Of course, I don't want to be rude, so I always eat something. But at the same time, I don't want to put my camera down, because when everyone's eating, it's always like a good, real moment where kids are eating and they're goofing on each other, and the, you know, the mom or the grandmother serving food and stuff like that, and there's great stuff. So sometimes I eat later in the day when I run out of batteries.
I just want to go sometimes right through the TV because the food looks really so good.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, you got a lot of Caribbean families and a lot of, you know, Italian families, a lot of families who just, you know, the cooking is very passionate, and, you know, and a lot of families that, you know, obviously breaking bread around the dinner table or lunch table is, you know, a big tradition in their family. So I got, you know, a lot of exposure to a lot of good food.
And it seems like, seriously, that the moms and the grandmoms who are doing this, doing all the cooking for the players who come over to visit the said player's house, they're enjoying it themselves. They have the passion for cooking and taking care of these young students. Athletes as well.
Yeah, exactly. They love it. It's not a burden at all to have like 15 big football guys come over and want to eat. Exactly. The mothers and grandmothers, they love it. They seem like they're in all their glory. They love having, you know, their motherly instincts come out, and they love just being able to take care of all their, you know, these football players. And there really is in the whole community, that's a good example of how much love there is in the whole community, because it's not just the coaches working with the kids, and it's not just the parents or siblings, you know, working with the kids. It really is a big community, and you know, the whole community is a family. And I'm lucky enough because I get to see a couple of different schools, so I see it from a couple of different sides of the coin. And although each school and team is a family unto itself, I really feel like there's a larger community of the entire, you know, PSAL football, varsity football in New York City is one big community and extended family. And it's definitely growing, and that's good to see, because everybody wins. There's no doubt about that.
Obviously, the three teams that you focused on, again, as we mentioned earlier, was Canarsie, Lincoln, and Erasmus Hall this year. But have you gotten any feedback from other schools while these programs are airing on WPIX Channel 11 on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m.? I know personally I heard from Kyle McKenna recently. I saw him at an event, and he loves the program, and I know his Brooklyn Tech was featured in a loss to Canarsie. What are some of the reactions you get from other schools?
Well, it's funny. Traditionally, what I try to do is if I don't know the opposing coach before game day, I always run up and introduce myself, you know, on the field at game day. And over 3 years, pretty much invariably, the response I get once I say what I'm doing is, why aren't you doing our program? So everybody wants in. I definitely try to feature, you know, as many programs as possible, and because there's certainly more great stories than just the three teams I'm covering. And that's what I found out, is every team you go to, no matter what you hear about them, you know, their reputation or their coach's reputation or whatever, you know, there's always good kids and there's always good stories. So I try to expand my circle a little bit, but at the same time, it's like it's 22 minutes. I'm trying to cover three teams as it is. I'm already super crunched for enough time to get everything in, and you've got about, you know, somewhere upwards of 50 kids a team. So, you know, I'm looking at, you know, upwards of 150 kids on three teams alone. So it's tough, but I would like to have more time to and more manpower, you know, to edit and film and get more exposure for other teams. But we're trying to, you know, at least give a little bit of exposure to all opponents. And I wish I could do more. Let me just say that. Because guys like Kyle McKenna, great coach, great guy.
Yes.
Peter Gambardella out of Curtis, another,
yes,
you know, Staten Island doesn't get enough credit. I know there's some great kids on the Campus Magnet team that I've become friends with on Facebook and stuff like that. And, you know, everyone's real excited about it. So we're hoping to get bigger every year and keep coming back bigger, better, stronger.
You're on the sidelines with Vinny Acedo. We're talking to Adam Salazar, who's the executive producer / director of City Gridiron Season 3, featuring Lincoln, Erasmus, and Canarsie High School. And we're coming up on the PSAL City Championship game at Yankee Stadium December 6th at 5 p.m. And he's got these two teams following them the entire season. So we've talked a little bit about the background and all this, the histrionics of the program. You really lucked out with this Lincoln Erasmus thing again. I love how you struck gold. You got to give me the six numbers for Lotto on Saturday, by the way. This is unbelievable. Tell me a little bit about Lincoln. From last year's team, season two, we had Anishak Williams being heavily recruited like Wayne Morgan at Erasmus this year, going to Notre Dame. Lincoln losing 18 of their 22 starters a year ago, and not that many people thought that this would be the spot that they would be in come 2011.
I certainly didn't. It's funny. I mean, you know, I'm a big football fan. I'm certainly don't consider myself a football coach or expert by any stretch, because I'm up next to these guys who are, you know, career football guys. And I, in no way, shape, or form last year, thought Lincoln was going to be competing for the championship again. I mean, the amount of talent that they lost off of last year's team, with Ishak Williams, who went to Notre Dame, and Wayne Williams, who certainly had the talent to go to a big D1 school, but ended up going the JUCO route because of grades, Andrew Justice, DeWarren Heath, Carrick Simmons. I mean, they were just sacked last year. Rochelle Madore, were. I mean, they lost close to a ton, I think, off of their offensive and defensive lines. And like you said, 18 of 22 starters. And somehow the kids that were, you know, the second stringers last year, the juniors last year, I mean, they all stepped up. And everyone attributes it to the fact that they were going against all these, you know, All-Americans and these monsters last year in practice all year. But I was shocked. I didn't doubt any of the kids, any of the players at Lincoln or any of the coaches, that's for sure. But I certainly didn't expect them to be possibly a better team than they were last year. And Andrew Vitale, the quarterback last year, I neglected to mention. It's just unbelievable. I guess Jessel Jones, their quarterback now, is probably would have started last year as a junior on almost any other program in the city, but they had Vitale, who was, you know, a two-year starter there. And Jessel is an incredibly smart quarterback, very accurate arm, doesn't have one talent that stands out. He's not a particularly fast runner like Vitale the year before. He doesn't have a particularly strong cannon of an arm, but the kid is very smart. You know, he makes reads at the line, he changes plays, makes very good decisions, and he's usually very accurate, and he's just a very dangerous quarterback because he does it both. He runs and he throws. You know, that Kareem Folks, their starting running back, who's one of their few returning starters, getting some looks from Tennessee, in fact. Just Tennessee volunteers just reached out looking for film on him this past week. He's a very dangerous back. They've got a very big line, both sides of the line, led by number 75, Robert Kitching.
Ka-ching!
Ka-ching! And you'll have to turn into City Gridiron to get that reference. So they're a very dangerous team. Lincoln program is really in good position to be successful for a lot of years. They got last year, Miss Ebed, their athletic director, got them a brand new field with light. Gorgeous, gorgeous turf fields with lights. They're the only Friday night lights in Brooklyn. You know, they were featured on City Gridiron last year, so I think that helps their exposure. And so many kids in New York City, the Pop Warner, the junior high kids, want to go to Lincoln now, and they are just stacked with talent on the JV side. So they've got a lot of talent coming up, and I expect them to be I guess they can't go undefeated every single year, 12-0 into Yankee Stadium, but they're certainly going to be in the mix for the championship for the foreseeable future.
You're on the sidelines with Vinny Aceto. We're talking to Adam Salazar, the executive producer, director of City Gridiron Season 3, which airs every Sunday morning on Channel 11, PIX 11, at 11 a.m. as we preview this big city championship game between Lincoln and Erasmus Hall. Top-seeded Lincoln, fifth-seeded Erasmus Hall, Tuesday, December 6th at Yankee Stadium, 5 p.m. The Cathedral of Baseball becomes a football field of dreams. So we've talked a little bit about Lincoln. We got to mention about their head coach, Sean O'Connor, who's really turned this program around, now in his 12th season at the school, being a Lafayette graduate himself, now coming over to the blue, leaving the red, becoming blue, and he has done a terrific job reestablishing the tradition that Lincoln held back in the day from like when I went to school and even before that as well.
Yes, Sean O'Connor is the consummate professional coach. He really
and workaholic.
Is. He's a workaholic. He works like a madman. I'm sure his wife, you know, could put a couple words in on that topic, but he really is. He's a consummate professional. He's always cool as a cucumber. He's in charge of everything. You know, nothing goes by without his eye catching it, whether it's kids and their grades, academically, off field, on field, practice, film sessions. He's really a workaholic and a perfectionist. And you know what? It pays off in the program. And he came to a school that was a basketball mecca, that was a world famous basketball program. And he's built the football program up to be, you know, I mean, dare I say it, on par with basketball, being that last year they were both in the city championship. And Lincoln Pigskin is going back to the city championship again. So I really think that Lincoln has built itself, between Miss Ebed and Coach O'Connor and Coach Tiny Morton and the basketball side, has built itself to be the premier athletic department in New York City, if not New York State, and arguably beyond. So Sean O'Connor does a great job, and he really has. Like you say, he's brought that program back from dust and a dusty field that they used to have.
True.
To an all-American class program, and it's great to see. It really is.
I have to give props to his assistant coaches also as well. The offensive coordinator, Brian Meskis, as I like to call Air Meskis when he throws the ball up in the air. Kenny Chapman, longtime assistant coach, played in the program, a graduate of 1981 in the school. He was on that staff back in 1993 when they won the city championship, defeating Canarsie 7-0. Sorry, Mike Amadisi. I always have to throw that in there every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Bernard Titley and Maurice Jones always get mad at me. Seth, not really that much, but the other two, they really get upset with me. But Kenny Chapman, got to give him much credit also, longtime assistant coach. Bobby Fessler, who's been around for the longest time, and a huge Utrecht grad who played his football there, and a longtime assistant at New Utrecht Lafayette, and a loyal assistant to Sean O'Connor. Robert Eliel, another product of the program at Lincoln High School as well. Young John Ramirez also, you can't leave him out as well, another product of the program. Seeing these young pups come back and help out with the program and helping it established to be the program that it is today, back to where it was years ago with the tradition, is really great to see.
Absolutely. And, you know, the assistant coaches, obviously the head coach gets all the headlines and the interviews and all the glory, but you know, the entire coaching staff, and even including Durazzo, John Paul Durazzo, the JV head coach over there, who coaches the varsity as well. You know, in New York City, you only, for varsity, you only can pay two coaches. So everybody else is volunteering their time. And you know, these guys are coming from everything from construction jobs to, you know, some guys work in government that coach, local government, or judges that coach in the PSAL. So you get guys from all walks of life, and they all love football, and they all care about the kid. And you really have to hand it to all the assistant coaches who are on a volunteer basis, because they're, you know, doing a lot of the heavy lifting, because only two guys can't do it. It just speaks to how much, you know, how much football and how much the kids in the sport means to these guys in New York City.
You're on the sidelines with Vinny Acido. We're talking to Adam Salazar, who's the executive producer, director of City Gridiron, which airs every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on Channel 11 WPIX. And it's a great program. And he's been covering Canarsie, Erasmus, and Lincoln all season long, striking gold with the two of those three teams playing in the city championship game December 6th at Yankee Stadium at 5 p.m. It's going to be a great one. Adam, we've talked a little bit about Lincoln. Let's go back to Erasmus and some of the highlights that you've enjoyed covering them this year.
Yeah, Erasmus is an exciting team. There's no doubt about that. And this kid, Wayne Morgan, he is electric on the field, both sides of the ball. You know, as soon as the ball snapped, it's in his hands as quarterback. I mean, he's a very dangerous quarterback. He's not a natural quarterback per se, but he's the most dangerous kid on the field. So they put the ball in his hands. He does a good job throwing it. And look out if he starts to run with that ball, because he is fast. He runs fast and he moves quick, meaning he avoids tackles and he's just slippery to pull down. You know, he's the main focus on the team, but Erasmus Hall is another team that is just stacked. They also got a brand new field this year. They don't have light yet. They're hoping to have lights next year to play night games next year.
Wow.
Yep, that's what the plan is.
Breaking a story there.
Breaking a story, how about that? And theoretically, because they're in Midwood, which is a very Jewish neighborhood, they might play on Saturday nights if the PSAL would give permission. So that would be super cool to have.
Who are they going to wake up? The people in the cemetery that surrounds the field?
I don't know. Good point.
They're going to wake up the poor dead?
I think they want to observe the Sabbath on Friday night.
Okay.
So I don't know. But
so the sun is down and the lights are on Saturday night. We could play Saturday night. I'm cool for that.
For my purposes, that would be great. That could be a Lincoln filming Friday night at another school, Canarsie, Saturday afternoon, and then Erasmus
Look
at
you.
Saturday night. I already got it planned out. But as far as the team goes, very dangerous team. Shaquell Jackson is the two in the 1-2 punch between Wayne Morgan and Shaquell Jackson. Shaquell is a running back, a four-year varsity starter, running back and linebacker. Also a very talented kid, strong kid, great runner, very fast as well. You know, they also have Ludejean Louis, a senior who broke his leg last year, missed most of the season, but has come back with a vengeance and is certainly having an all-city caliber year. Definitely a Division I talent player. And they also are loaded with a bunch of young kids, too. They've got a couple of super sophomores. Curtis Samuel, who's a kid who was just having a tremendous breakout year, although ended up breaking his ankle in practice, so he's unfortunately done for the year. Khalil Lewin is a kid who, another sophomore, and he's really had a bust-out season after Curtis Samuel went down, because he's carried more of the load at running back.
And Adam, he's the reason why they're playing in the city championship game, scoring that game-winning touchdown in overtime against Tonville last Saturday.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. It was
what a great run!
Overtime run. He went down the right side from the 15-yard line, broke a couple tackles, spun around, put his hand on the ground once, I think maybe twice, to keep himself on balance, and scampered into the end zone.
Amazing.
And it was just an amazing play, and you'll have to tune into City Gridiron a week from this Sunday to see that one. They're a very, very talented team. They're a very dangerous team. They just went into Huguenot and beat Tottenville, who hasn't lost in Tottenville in, you tell me, at least 4 years, I think, right?
And they beat Tottenville twice. Coaches always tell you it's so difficult to beat a team twice. They beat Tottenville twice this year. The first time they were down 13-0 and win 14-13. This time they're down 14-0 and win in overtime 20-17. Unbelievable job by Danny Landberg and Erasmus Hall.
That's just it. You can't sleep on Erasmus Hall. People keep overlooking them. Oh, they're banged up. They've got a lot of injuries.
And remember, they were Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at the beginning of the season.
Oh, absolutely.
You didn't know which team you were going to get.
You know, but even by the half. It wasn't even on the game-by-game basis.
True.
By the half, they would be monsters in the first half, and they would collapse in the second half and give the entire game back, and it came away with at least two losses because of situations like that. But despite three losses on the whole season, they're in the championship game at Yankee Stadium, which is, you know, great to see, because a lot of those kids at 1-2 were like, oh my God, our season's over. We're never going to win the championship. But you know what? They fought hard and they battled all year. I give them credit. Their coaches held that team together by injuries and especially some big losses on the line. Some of their big men went down, but everybody stepped up. And, you know, it's going to be a very exciting game. I think people in the city, the tendency is to think Lincoln's going to win because Lincoln is, it looks like an unstoppable train. And I think Lincoln is pretty much fairly healthy. I don't think they really lost anybody. Lincoln, the another intangible advantage is Lincoln has been to Yankee Stadium last year. Most of those kids, they're not going to be surprised at standing on Yankee Stadium. They're going to be a little less, you know, wide-eyed standing on that field than Erasmus Hall might be.
And let's hope it's a lot warmer than it was a year ago.
Oh my God, it was freezing last year. Let's hope the weather holds. It's been gorgeous out. I don't know. I don't know who to pick. It's going to be a fantastic game. I would just say, I would say you don't know going in. That's what I would say.
Whose locker room are you going into at the beginning of the game?
Here's the thing. I'm going to have cameras on both sidelines and both locker rooms. So I'm going to have a couple of cameras dedicated to each team so I won't miss anything on either side or either locker room. And I will be running like a lunatic back and forth from sideline to sideline and from locker room to locker room.
It'll be like Wayne Morgan on Erasmus' sideline. It'll be like Kareem Folks on Lincoln's sideline.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
If I could borrow a little bit of their speed, that would help me out.
And look how politically correct he is. He won't pick a winner.
I know better than to pick a winner.
Adam Salazar is the executive producer and director of City Gridiron. It airs every Sunday morning on PIX Channel 11. 11 on 11. You can catch it there for the best in New York City high school football. Adam, again, thank you so much for being a part of our program. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the City Gridiron Season 3 as well. I've really enjoyed being a part of it as well. And thank you so much for covering our New York City high school athletes.
Absolutely, Vinny. Do a great job with all the play-by-play, and it certainly lends a huge air of credibility to the show, and very honored to be working with you on that. Absolutely.
Touchdown, City Gridiron!
I love it.
This is the Pony Soldiers from NFL Films. When we come back, we'll put this baby to bed. One last preview. Lincoln versus Erasmus. As the award-winning On the Sidelines with Vinny Aceto rolls on after this.
WNYE 91.5.
On these winds of victory ride emotions of a year of work and sweat, guts, glory, and fear.
Put me on the 1 foot line and give me 2 minutes to go and give me all three of my timeouts and give me my boys. And then let me hear my name over the loudspeaker. Let me hear the roar of the crowd. Let me have them booing on one side. Let me get in and call plays. See the eyes grow as I call these plays and talk to them. Let me feel the hair on my back crawl up. I mean, that's what the Super Bowl does to you.
All sights are set on one glittering goal. The chance to play and win in the Super Bowl.
If we die, we die together.
Amen. Amen.
You can get it done. You can get it done. What's more, you gotta get it done.
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam, all right? Let's go.
What a piece of that championship. Put it in here.
After all these years, Mike, that I could come out here and be nice and relaxed. Jeez, I'm a nervous wreck.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Nowhere. The sounds of the NFL. From NFL Films. And I love George Allen. You want a piece of that championship? Put it right here. Yeah. And this is Salute to Courage. Wow. And New York City's version of the Super Bowl. The New York City Public Schools Athletic League City Football Championship to be played at the Cathedral of Baseball, turning into a football field of dreams, Tuesday, December 6th at Yankee Stadium at 5 p.m. It's top-seeded Lincoln at 12-0 against fifth-seeded Erasmus Hall
at 9-3. And at this point of our show every week, we give you our 91.5 FM Public High School Football Player of the Week for Week 3 of the postseason in the Championship Division semifinals. We have two winners. From Lincoln High School, it's their quarterback, Jessel Jones, who ran for two touchdowns and threw for a third in the Rail Splitters 30-14 victory over Clinton High School. Double J collected 107 rushing yards en route to the squad's second straight title appearance. And in the other Championship Division semifinals, it was Khalil Lewin, the running back for Erasmus Hall. With an injured Shaquell Jackson on the bench, Lewin tallied the game's winning touchdown in overtime to propel the Dutchmen to their first ever top-flight championship game after Tottenville had to settle for a field goal on the opening possession of overtime. So congratulations to the quarterback for Lincoln, Jessel Jones, and the running back from Erasmus Hall, Khalil Lewin, our 91.5 FM Public High School Player of the Week for the postseason, Week 3. Enough of all the talk. It's time to play the game. 48 minutes with a lifetime to remember. It's time to put on the cleats, put on those pads, strap those helmets on, and get your game on. It's the Battle of Brooklyn in the Bronx for the PSAL Football City Championship. At Yankee Stadium, where the Cathedral of Baseball turns into a football field of dreams, again, it's top-seeded Lincoln 12-0 against 9-3, Erasmus Hall. I hope you enjoyed our Public High School Football City Championship preview show. I want to thank all my guests, Sean O'Connor, the head coach of the Lincoln Rail Splitters, Danny Landberg, the head coach of the Erasmus Hall Dutchmen, Adam Salazar, the executive producer and director of City Gridiron, which is on every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on Channel 11, and of course, former major leaguer and Lincoln High School grad, Lee Mazzilli. And before we close out the show, we'll have the sounds of NFL films, The Men Who Play It, followed by the championship chase. For everyone at Radio NYC, I'm Vinny Aceto, reminding you to be a part of the game. Get off the bench, and I'll see you on the sidelines. Goodbye!
Football in America is a special game. A unique game. The men who play it make it so. All of them are fearless. All of them are strong, quick, and all of them are part of a story that began long ago. A story written by men who found in a sport a demanding measure for their own courage and ability.
You want to go? All right. That was a good class.